Cleverly, welcome to the United Stands. I'm Mark Goldbridge, and this is your latest Manchester United news as we deliver two big transfer updates. One from the mouth of Bruno Fernandes, an exclusive interview this morning giving a big hint about his destination next season and what he expects of himself and Manchester United. We'll talk about that. And is Bruno Fernandes actually walking into a Glazer trap again? Will his career be defined by trusting the Glazers and missing out on the big prizes? A very interesting statement from Bruno Fernandes. We'll talk about that in a moment. Also, Yan Diamande scored again yesterday for Leipzig. Is he now becoming mission impossible for Manchester United? Leipzig, like Manchester United, looking like they're heading back into European football in the Champions League. What does that do for the price of Diamande? Would Manchester United be willing to spend up to £100 million on a winger of that quality? We'll talk about that as well. A couple of other bits I want to get into. Also, a warning from David Ornstein around Liverpool's transfer activities this summer. If Liverpool are going to buy more players than us this summer, and we're already starting technically from behind Liverpool, how do you ever close a gap? How do you ever close a gap? We'll talk about that as well. But let's start off with Bruno Fernandes. A quite thorough interview with The Times that's come out this morning, talking about United's issues, himself as a player. But more importantly, we're going to start off with what Bruno Fernandes has had to say about his ambitions and expectations at Manchester United, and by proxy, whether he'll be staying at Manchester United next season. He had this to say: "What I always say to the club is you cannot promise me I'm going to win the Premier League. That's impossible. But if you promise me we're going to be competitive, that's all I need to know. Then it's on me to become the best version of myself, to help everyone around to then become the club we want to be." So I've seen some reaction to this online. Some people are saying it's very vague. Some people are saying it doesn't necessarily mean he's staying. I think what it says is that he allows himself to be manipulated by the Glazers, because he is not really talking necessarily about next year. He's talking about the last however many years he's been at the club, because he says, "What I always say to the club is you cannot promise me the Premier League, but what I want to be promised is that we're going to be competitive, and that's all I need to know." Well, if you look at the time that Bruno Fernandes has been at Man United, I wouldn't argue that we've been competitive. I really wouldn't. And if that is the promise that he's waiting for from Manchester United, then I suppose that's music to our ears, because I think he definitely will stay. I think there's an element of naivety there, if I'm speaking honestly. If he only needs to be told by Wilcox and the Glazers and Ineos that we're going to be competitive next season, then more fool him when we're not, if we're not. Because, I mean, he's had Ten Hag, he's had Amorim. Who was he signed by, Bruno? I think he was signed by Ollie. So he's had three managers where no doubt he's been told every single summer that we're going to be competitive, and ultimately we haven't been. I don't class fighting for fourth as competitive. I don't class winning a Carabao Cup as competitive. And everybody wanted to sack Ten Hag after he won the FA Cup. So we're not going to define that finishing eighth and winning an FA Cup where you want to sack your manager as being competitive. So it's a really interesting insight into Bruno. And look, I maybe wrongly thought he would say this summer, "I want you to go and buy players that are going to make us compete for the big prizes in the next year or two." It doesn't sound like that's what he does say. It sounds like he says, "Give me a team that can be competitive, and I'll go out there and do my best." And when you look at this team this year, I don't think it's competitive. I think if you take Bruno Fernandes out of this team, I don't care how good you think Carrick or Holland is, or how intense we were under Amorim, you take Bruno Fernandes out of this team this season, I'm saying mid-table. I don't see a team beyond Bruno that's capable of being where it is at the moment. And we can wax lyrical about multiple players, managers, coaching, systems, formations. We can talk about what we like, but the bottom line is you take Bruno Fernandes out of this team and it's a mid-table team. It's no better than Newcastle. It's no better than Fulham. It's Bruno Fernandes that makes this team competitive. So when has Bruno ever been told the truth by this club? If he is sat there saying, "All I want is a promise that we're going to be competitive and then I will be the best version of me," I don't think we have ever been that competitive. I don't think we've ever built a team that's competitive around him. I think predominantly this is a guy that over the last 6 years has more assists than anybody and is one of the top assist makers in Premier League history. If he had a competitive team around him, it goes to, I mean, it's logical. If you put Bruno Fernandes in a competitive team, I expect to challenge for the Premier League because I've got one of the best creators in the world game. So Is Bruno a little bit naive? Probably, yeah. Do I think he'll sign a contract? Yes, because I think if he is somebody that is not actually asking for a team that's going to win the league, he's just asking for a team that will be competitive, and he stayed here for 6 years and he thinks that's a competitive team, then I think he probably will stay. But I would say, I don't think they've ever built a competitive team around you at all. So what Bruno defines as competitive probably isn't the same as what most of us define as competitive, because a competitive team with Bruno Fernandes in it would be a team, in my opinion, that challenges for the top prizes. I don't think we've ever had that. I don't think we have. But it bodes well for the summer, because he's not actually saying, I want them to go and build a team that can fight for the Premier League. He just wants a team that's competitive. And by definition, I suppose competitive is you can beat anybody on your day and you can lose to anybody on your day. And we're definitely that. We're definitely that. You go back to Van Gaal, Jose, Oli, Amorim, Ten Hag. We've always been able to beat a team on our day. We've always had the win at the Etihad or a win at the Emirates. I mean, what, remember De Gea at the Emirates? That was Mourinho. Remember the Etihad under Mourinho? So we've always had the ability to beat anybody on our day. Conversely, we've always had the get beat at home by Palace. We get stuffed away to Liverpool. So I think that is competitive. It's a word I don't like, actually. I don't actually like it. I'm not digging out Bruno. I think it's a reflection on what the Glazers have done to Manchester United Football Club, not just our fans, not just our ex-players, but also our current players. They all seem, when they've been indoctrinated, to talk the same nonsense. It's about being competitive. I don't think we are competitive. I think the definition of a Real Madrid or a Manchester United, a Man City now, a Liverpool now, a Bayern Munich, competitive for those clubs is fighting for the title. That's competitive. So when the captain of the club is saying, I cannot ask the club that we're going to win the Premier League, but if we're going to be competitive, that's all I need to know. And that's the captain of Man United, because the definition of Man United and the standards of Man United is that we should be competing for the title. But our captain's now saying that's not realistic. I just want to be competitive. And the definition of that is the last 6 years. And that's enough for Bruno, the captain of the club. It's enough for him for us to fight for fifth. And that's where we are as a football club, you know? So look, I think he's going to stay. I had hoped he was going to stay on the condition that we'd actually buy some decent players. We'll have to wait and see. But a really interesting insight to Bruno. He also goes on to say that we need to be consistent. We understand there's no time to rest, no time to disconnect. To understand that in a full league, every point matters. Every small details will make a difference. Being good in the whole season is much more difficult to do. And that's something we haven't done. In my second season, we were good till January under Oli, and then we fell away and City came up and put their foot down. So, I mean, look, he's speaking absolutely clearly there. You know, we do need to be competitive week in, week out. We've never managed that. And I don't think we ever will manage that, because I think you need to build a squad to do that in the modern game. We would have to add a lot of players to the team. And it's interesting, actually, because that's a good segue into what David Ornstein has said this morning about Liverpool. He said there are signings coming, no doubt. They feel they need 3 or 4 first-team players for them to be really competitive again. We know they're going to go for wide players because of Salah's departure, and also Diaz wasn't replaced, so that'll be high on the agenda. So Liverpool Football Club are going to look for 3 to 4 first-team players this summer. And that's from David Ornstein, one of the best football journalists in the world. So Liverpool, who won the league last year, who spent close to $500 million last year, are going to buy 3 or 4 first-team players this summer. So this is what I mean as well. Like, we do get locked into our competitive, oh, we're going to qualify for the Champions League, oh, give it to Carrick, oh, give Maguire a new contract. I mean, this, to me, is all unambitious. It's all papering the cracks. The reality is, I'm hearing that Chelsea are going for Murillo at Forest, a centre-back that I think United should be looking at. We know Man City are going to go hard again. We now know Liverpool are going to go hard again. Arsenal are looking at people like Julian Alvarez at Atletico Madrid. Everyone around us is going to not stand still. And at the moment, we're, you know, letting Rio Ferdinand talk about United only need 3 or 4 signings this summer and Carrick should be the manager. And I think Where we might make a massive mistake here is that we need a good manager and 8 players. Non-negotiable. And if we buy 3 or 4 and we get the manager wrong, Liverpool are probably going to buy 4 first-team players. Arsenal will probably buy another 3. Man City will probably buy another 3 or 4. Chelsea certainly will get some players in as well. If we don't get this summer transfer window right, competitive might be fighting for 5th again. And I think we have to be in the Champions League next year. Do we need to get real with the left wing options? Diamande isn't going to happen. Morgan Rogers isn't right. Maybe it has to be Ngia. Who else could it be, Mark? Says Simon Moss. I think this is a great question. I'll come back to some of the Bruno comments, but I think this is a great question and it's a super chat. And I wanted to bring this in early into the show as well, because I am a little bit early today because I've got to go and watch some football. SK Visuals with another super chat says, I'm convinced Carrick's already got the job. What interim does this many interviews? Yeah, I think we all know the club's shite, mate. I mean, look, if Carrick gets the job, I'll back him. But I've said it multiple times this week. We're run by idiots and they're not even going to interview other managers. And I think that's a disgrace. Give Carrick the job, I'll back him. But to give him the job without interviewing anybody else is idiotic. And, you know, we've all watched the last 6 weeks of Man United. The football's not even been that good. I mean, we got absolutely destroyed by 10 men Newcastle. We were very lucky against Palace because they got a man sent off. We drew against Bournemouth when we should have beat them. I don't even think the results are good. I don't even think the football's been that good, but they're going to give it to him 100%. But going back to the left back thing from Simon, I was going to talk about Yann Diamande this morning. What do we do about the left wing? Simon's asking me, I'm now asking you, what do we do about the left wing situation? So as things stand in the Bundesliga, it's looking really good for Leipzig. They are on 56 points. Top 4 will get Champions League football. They're 4 points clear of 5th. And they're nicely settled in now into the top 4. Now, they weren't in Europe at all last year, like us. They brought this player in, Yann Diamande. It's his first year at Leipzig in the Bundesliga. He's done really, really well. He's got Leipzig wanting to keep him. He's got United looking at him. He's got Liverpool looking at him. We've held a lot of talks. We've got good connections into Leipzig because of Favel. But the last few weeks, it's starting to drift. I think when we didn't get Semenyu, we went for Diamande and we have put a lot of work into it and we've expressed our interest. We had good contacts. And the issue is now is that Leipzig are now the strongest position because they can say to Diamande, you've only been with us a year. You're playing every week. You go into the World Cup with the Ivory Coast. You come straight back to Leipzig in a team that you know where next season will go in the blink of an eye, but you'll be playing Champions League football with us. We're going to be a strong team next season because we're going to be a year older. And then next summer, you can go. And I think that's the most likely option for Diamande now. It almost makes sense to stay at Leipzig for another year. Leipzig desperately want him to stay for another year because they want £80 to £100 million. And can they get that this summer? Maybe not. Can they get that next summer after another year where he's played in the Champions League? Probably yes. So it feels like Diamande is becoming more and more difficult. Also, Liverpool do need to buy 2 wingers, so they might go big for him as well. So it is drifting away for Man United. I wouldn't sit here and say it's definitely off, but I am seeing some United fans saying we can't spend £80, £90, £100 million and get into a bidding war for somebody who has had one good season in the Bundesliga, hasn't played in the Champions League yet, and is currently only 19. So even people in our fan base are starting to say, we can't do that. So I wouldn't say it's off with Diamande because I know for a fact we've put a lot of work into it, but it is becoming more difficult, almost because Leipzig have done what we've done. Like, if we'd had a bad season this year and we weren't in the Champions League, then Bruno Fernandes would probably go. And if Leipzig had had a season where they'd finished 6th and didn't get in the Champions League, I think Diamande would go. But they're doing what we're doing. They're going to be in the Champions League next year. So I think Diamande becomes very difficult. I agree, Morgan Rogers. See, it feels like Morgan Rogers is Carrick because he had him at Middlesbrough. And I think Morgan Rogers is a fantastic player, but I don't think he fits in to what we're trying to do at Man United, and not for £100 million. I think it's too much of a risk to buy Morgan Rogers and put him on the left wing at £100 million. I do like the Everton lad. I can't pronounce his name. Ndia. I do like him, but I think Everton are having a fantastic season themselves. They had another good result yesterday. They could be in European football, and they don't need to sell, so they probably want 70, which is a lot of money, and I don't think United would want to pay that. Also, I don't think they want to get into negotiations with Everton. So you're almost in a position where Semenyo was plan A. Diamande was definitely plan B. Morgan Rogers and Dia could be plan C. So in a key position, we're down to plan D again. And we've got to stop doing this. We have to stop doing this. So I don't know what we do at left wing. Answers in the comments. I don't know what we do at left wing because Semenyo was plan A. Diamande was plan B. You can argue it's Rogers or Endia for plan C and D. I mean, we're down to plan E already again. And I think that, yeah, Somerville at West Ham's interesting. But I always worry when you get down to plan D and E that we're meant to be closing gaps here, not taking risks. And plan D and E are always going to be risks. Now, Sesko was a bit of a risk. He's not even starting. I like Sesko and I think it's worked well, but he's not starting, is he? He's not starting every game. Carrick won't start him. So this is what I mean about plan D and E. They're not necessarily the guy that goes straight in the team, are they? They might be one for the future. There might be an element of risk. And I think that left wing is quite an important position for us. Fortunately, we do have Dorgu. And I do believe Dorgu can play that position. We've obviously got Gabriel and Lacey, who could be coming through as well. But that's almost doing the Glazers' work, isn't it? Well, we don't need to buy a left winger now because we've got Dorgu, we've got Lacey, and we've got Gabriel. We can't be that club either. We can't be the club that goes, well, let's not spend anything and let's stick with what we've got. I think you have to go and spend money. And I do feel like Diamande is drifting more towards staying at Leipzig or potentially going to Liverpool than us, because I think Liverpool will go hard this summer, certainly. Mark Knight says, do you think Sesko will start tomorrow? I mean, you know, it's Carrick, isn't it? We've not played in what feels like 6 months. I'm very excited about it. Obviously, you can watch the Gold Devils tomorrow night at 5 o'clock on my channel, and then we'll be here for the United game at 8. So make sure you're supporting both. But I'm very excited about tomorrow night because we haven't seen Man United play a game in a long time. It's always good to smash Leeds, and we do normally smash Leeds at Old Trafford. Will he start Sesko? I'd be a liar if I said one way or the other. I mean, he doesn't start Sesko when he should start him, but then he will start him when you think he's not going to start him. I mean, if he starts Sesko, he's got to drop Mbeumo or Ahmad, and that seems to be a real issue for Carrick. So I would not be surprised if the front three is Cunha, Mbeumo and Ahmad, if I'm being completely honest. And we continue down this road of, I really like him, but he's not, you know, he's one for the future. Yildiz, Mark. I mean, Yildiz at Juventus would be a lot cheaper and has done very, very well. I've got to be honest, I have been rather absent in watching the Italian league this season. It's probably I've loved the Italian league since Italia 90, so many, many years, even if I just watched the highlights. I've been really absent this year. I've not really watched a lot, even the highlights. I just haven't. So I think with Yildiz, I always hear good things, described as an electric winger and very good in the one-on-one and has got goals, but it's the Italian league, isn't it? And I think that's maybe very difficult. Sebi says, what about El Mala from Cologne? Good player. Would be a young player, but he's a good player. Somerville at West Ham is interesting. Look, can I just say this? Yes, I can. You know who we should be going for? Anthony Gordon. And you know why we won't go for Anthony Gordon? Because it's too expensive. I mean, that's the sort of signing you make if you want to be serious as a football club. Like, that is a left winger who is Premier League proven, who is defensively really, really solid and also can get you goals and assists. And that's where Liverpool and Arsenal are looking. So Anthony Gordon, to me, would be absolutely perfect. But we won't do that type of deal because it's too expensive. He's not even on our list as a left winger. And yet he absolutely is. I mean, this is where Man United sort of contradicts themselves, because they'll say, we're not signing Bruno Guimaraes, even though he's absolutely perfect because he's over 26. And then with Anthony Gordon, you've got a player who's only just turned 25. I mean, he was 24 a month ago. He's only just turned 25 and is a Premier League proven England international left winger who is probably going to be on the move from Newcastle this summer. And that's where we should be going. But we won't even consider that because that's not how we go. I think with Liao at Milan, that feels like a massive flop waiting to happen. I know that's harsh, but I feel like Liao is a flop waiting to happen. I don't know how old he is now, but you know he doesn't even start for Portugal that often. He's 26. He's 27 in the summer. That just feels like a flop. I wouldn't do that. A lot of people saying Gordon's overrated. I get that, but I don't think he is. I think he'd be very good in a Man United shirt, and I think that the way he plays and the effort he puts in, I think he would be a fan favourite very, very quickly. Let me just read some more of what Bruno said. He says, I don't think my qualities as a player have changed over the years. Every year that goes past, I get a better understanding of the game and a better understanding of what I should do less and what I should do more. So that's the more complete talk I talk about, says Bruno. So he says he's turning into a more complete player. He said, as players, we have that expectation when we come to Manchester United. It doesn't change. I know people will think you're going to get more money, you're going to get better contracts. No, you come to Man United because you want to win trophies, because money you can get anywhere. A lot of clubs in the Premier League pay well. A lot of clubs in Italy, Spain, they will pay you a lot. But you come to the club because of the history, because of what you want to achieve and what you think you can achieve. I mean, that's a great statement, but you've been here for 6 years, mate. And what have you achieved? Other than being one of the best attacking midfielders in the game, unfortunately, you haven't achieved a lot because most players do not share your opinion. I think Bruno completely shares that opinion. I think he came to Man United because of the history, because he wants to win things, he wants to achieve things at Manchester United. But there's no way we've got a squad of 15 that share that view. That's the problem. I think there are players that come to Man United for the status. They come here for the contract. They come here for the money. They don't come in for the reason that Bruno's come. Because if every player came to Man United with the attitude that Bruno Fernandes has in relation to, I came here because it's Man United, the history, it wasn't about the money, we'd be absolutely fine. And this is a brilliant interview from Bruno Fernandes because it's just reflective of the person he is. But he can't speak for every other player because they're not doing that, Bruno. Players don't come to Man United because it's Man United in the history. We can clearly see that over the last 6 years. We're not competitive. We don't fight for the big prizes. We don't even qualify for the Champions League every year. And if everybody came to Man United with that attitude that you have, we would be in the Champions League every year. But we don't have that mentality. It's been the biggest problem for years. We just cannot replicate that type of personality that Bruno Fernandes has, which is why he's always our best player, because nobody else actually falls into that. Would you take Iriola at Manchester United manager, Mark? No. And I think you have to be very, very careful. Look, I think Marco Silva plays really, really good football. But we saw against Liverpool yesterday, they lost. I think Iriola plays really good football. And we saw against Arsenal yesterday, Bournemouth won. Is Iriola better than Silva because he beat Arsenal and Silva didn't? I don't actually think he is. I think Fulham looked a little bit like they hadn't played for 3.5 weeks yesterday, and Arsenal looked terrified and Bournemouth were brilliant. It was a bad day for Fulham. It was a great day for Bournemouth. I don't think Iriola or Marco Silva or Glasner are ready for the Man United job. I don't think they're ready for that sort of job. And anybody that thinks they are, you've got to understand that there is a poison around Manchester United and it's called the media. And as much as they would applaud Iriola getting the job in the first couple of months, the minute there's a bad result, the players won't fancy him. They won't like his training methods. They're training them too hard. They don't want to train in the dark. He's out of ideas. He's losing the dressing room. He hasn't got the respect of the players. It can't be that. The Manchester United manager has to be somebody with significant experience and aura that they can deal with our media, or it will be Carrick. But it can't be can't be a Marco Silva, it can't be an Iriola, it can't be that type of manager, because they'll get swallowed up and spat out very, very quickly by the mainstream media, who will not give them time. And the difference between fans and the media is that we're fans and we can be quite harsh, but ultimately it's about the betterment of the club. The thing about the media is they almost have stories that they need to predict. So they will already know at the start of next season, out of the top six clubs, they need one manager that's going to be sacked before Christmas, because that's going to make them lots and lots of stories. And I think that, you know, Iriola, I'm not saying he's like Moyes, but it's that type of inexperienced manager that's done well at an unfashionable Premier League club. And I think that would become problematic, yeah. We can't take the... I think Iriola plays much better football than most managers in the Premier League, and it would be nice to see it at Man United, but I just don't think he'd be a... I just don't think United can... You look, Amrim. Look at what happened with Amrim. Amrim played good football at Sporting. Look at what happened with him. Ten Hag played good football at Ajax. Look at what happened with him. I think Iriola falls into that category. I think Amrim and Ten Hag are a little bit like Iriola. Hipster managers that will not be given the time at United. We've got to be... Look, the reason I say Enrique and the reason I say Nagelsmann is because they have got CVs that hold up to scrutiny. It makes me laugh how many people in the comments who don't want Nagelsmann say he's no better than Amrim. He's got no experience. Somebody actually put in the comments the other day, Nagelsmann's CV is no better than Carrick's. And I had to reply and I went, Nagelsmann took over a relegation-threatened Hoffenheim for his first job and took them into the Champions League. He then went to Leipzig, took them to a Champions League semi-final and finished second in the Bundesliga. He then went to Bayern Munich, where he actually won the league and now is managing the German national team. That is significantly better than being sacked by Middlesbrough in the Championship. And it's also better than most managers in European football. He has a very good CV. There's this myth around Nagelsmann that he doesn't have a decent CV. He does. And it's a very broad CV. It's not just Leipzig, it's a very broad CV, and also it's a very adaptable CV tactically. So he is experienced. Obviously Enrique won't happen, but would be the dream. But we can't go, in my opinion, we can't go for an Iriola or a Marco Silva. It would be a mess. Mar Charter says, I like your channel, but Leeds are getting all three. You need all three, but you won't get them. York 1987 has been a member for 67 months. You're a legend, sir. Thank you very much. Okay, I've ran over a little bit because it's 10:05. I've got to get over to football in a minute. But Barcelona must have a decent left wing in the youth, season-long loan included in Rashford loan. Rashford scored again last night. I heard people talking about Rashford not being coming back to Manchester United in the summer. He can't come back to Man United, by the way. Like, talk about the media. He can't come back to Manchester United. He can't come back to Manchester. Rashford cannot come back to Manchester. That would be an absolute distraction for him, the new manager, the team, the fans. He can't come back. He doesn't want to come back. He wants to stay at Barcelona, and hopefully he'll get that. But he scored last night. Barcelona are just a ruthless football club. You can respect it. You can dislike it. I wish we were run like Barcelona. I mean, I don't like the debts, but they are a ruthless football club. They don't piss about, you know. If we had, I mean, look, we've just given 33-year-old Maguire a new contract on the same terms. Barcelona might not keep Rashford, who's actually had a good year for them, and he's available for £25 million. They're ruthless. They don't care. That's the mentality of a club that is obsessed with winning football matches, not balancing the balance sheet. So, but I mean, Rashford's doing all right at Barcelona, but he can't come back. I mean, it'd be a bloody nightmare. Absolute nightmare for him. I think the scrutiny would be massive. I mean, the media aren't going to let up. Yeah, I think it would be a huge mistake. Look, we don't, you know what? I'll say this and I'll say this before. There's a lot of people that don't want Carrick and there's a lot of people that do want Carrick. I would say this. You haven't got a bloody clue what Carrick wants to do in the summer. None of you have. I don't know what he wants to do. We've got no idea who he wants in the midfield. We've got no idea what he wants to do with Rashford. We've got no idea what his back four is going to be. No one's actually got a clue what Carrick's vision is. He might want to sign Morgan Rogers. He might want to sign Belaba. He might want to bring Rashford back. We don't know what Carrick wants to do. And people are singing, let's give it to Carrick. They don't, just because he's won a few games as an interim, no one's got a bloody clue what he wants. He might want to buy Stiller. He might want to buy Scott. And he might want to buy Tenali. He might want to do loads of good. He might want to do loads of bad. We don't actually know what Carrick wants to do, despite lots of people wanting him to get the job. As an interim, he's done fantastically well. We've got no idea what he wants to do long term. Does he want to play like this with Steve Holland for the next year? I mean, God help us if he does. But we don't know anything. Check what Garnacho said on Man United exit on Sky. I've spoken about Garnacho 2 days ago, Hamoud. I'm not going to keep talking about Garnacho. If you want to forgive and forget with Garnacho, absolutely fine. He walked around in a Villa shirt. He fucked it up at Man United. He's a Chelsea player now. Carry on with your career. Don't look back. The door is shut. We're Manchester United. If he messed up and he realised he messed up, fair play. Get on with your career. But we don't need to look back. That's for me, that's a little bit like Rashford. You know, that's in the rearview mirror. I ain't looking back at Garnacho. You know, if he has apologised or whatever, great. But he wasn't apologetic in the summer when he was acting like a dick, was he? He wasn't apologetic in the summer when we were getting leaks about Chelsea are a better club and he'll sit on the bench to get his dream move and he'll walk around in a Villa shirt. You know, I don't wish him all the best because he plays for a rival. But you know what? If he's finally growing up a little bit, fair play. But it's in the path. It's in the past, isn't it? Anyway, I think Man United are trying to decide whether they're committing to a long-term rebuild or chasing short-term fixes with this managerial move, says It's Only Eric. And the board don't know what they're doing either, says UK Darren Fan. That's probably part of the problem, yeah. Today. So I'm on That's Football today. 2 o'clock, we've got Villa against Forest. That's a big game for us because it's Champions League centric. 4:30, it's Chelsea against Man City, which again is Champions League centric for us. So we'll be live for both of those games, whilst also keeping an eye on the 2 o'clocks involving Sunderland and Spurs, De Zerbi's first game. And then we're back on here at 8 o'clock. Thanks everyone for tuning in. Quick whirlwind show this morning. A little bit early, I know, but lots to get your teeth into there if you didn't watch it live. I'll speak to you on the next one. Take care.